are super, super stoked to have our visitors here today. We're honored to have you. You guys may or may not have noticed, but we do have a celebrity with us. Has anybody seen the movie 300 about the Greek warriors? Brother Jason in the back was in the movie. He looks like that guy, man. That's the first thing I thought of. I haven't even really seen the movie, but I remember the guy. I don't know. I'm not even going to tell you to go rent it. I don't know nothing about it. He looks just like the guy. Yeah. Yes. You look just like the cat, the dude. Now, I haven't seen it either. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay, I got you. Luke 24. Everyone turn to Luke 24. Lord willing, we're going to finish. We've been in this study for about 3 weeks now. The road to Emmaus. The two disciples, they were bummed out, they were depressed, they were in a hopeless situation. You ever felt like that before? You ever felt like you were in a situation that was just a lose-lose, any way you look at it? We had the two disciples leaving Jerusalem. Jesus Christ had been passed away for 3 days, looked like all hope was lost. They had had enough, probably pretty stinking fearful for their lives just getting out. You know, 7 miles down the road going to this little town of Emmaus. And who comes up beside them during their darkest, during the darkest, saddest time of their life? Who is right there with them? Jesus. Guys, let's remember that, man. If we belong to the Most High God, if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He does not lie. He cannot lie. And His Word says that I will never leave you or forsake you. He even says that we can be bold, we can be strong, we can be brave. We don't have to be full of fear. We don't have to have any kind of discouragement or despair. Doesn't matter what your situation looks like, but trust in the Most High God and know that He will never leave you. Oh, He's right there with you in the middle of that storm. Amen? Is that not a game changer? Isn't that the best news right there? That my God isn't too busy. My God isn't too busy. He's not too preoccupied. He's not trying to keep everything in order, and He just doesn't have time for me. No, my God is doing everything just fine, and He wants to hang out with me, and He wants to be with me through these hard times. He says, when we pass through the waters, right, we're going to go through some deep waters, and it might get a little scary sometimes. You know what I mean? But He says, it's not going to overtake you. And when you pass through, you're going to get through the other side, and I'm going to be with you. Amen? What a wonderful blessing that we have. That our God is with us. Amen? And He gives us everything we need. Okay, so Luke 24, verse 25 is where we're going to start out at. Jesus comes up to these two disciples, and they are just horribly, horribly depressed and heartbroken. And Jesus is walking with them. They do not recognize Him as Jesus. For some reason, Jesus Christ has decided to not reveal Himself. There's a lot of talk and speculation about what that's about. Listen, all we know for sure is Jesus decided you're not going to be able to recognize me. So that's what's going on, okay? And Jesus begins to tell a man about the Old Testament scriptures. And they're starting to get excited, man. So that's where we're at. Okay, Luke 24 and verse 25. And He said to them, talking about, this is Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You, Father God, that Your will is going to be done in this service, Lord. Thank You that we're going to leave here refreshed. We're going to leave here excited. We're going to leave here encouraged, Lord. We'll be able to face tomorrow and the days ahead because we know, Father God, You are faithful and You are with us, Lord, and You give us Your wonderful word. We love You and praise You. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And He said to them, O foolish ones. Isn't that kind of cool, ma'am? This guy, that, like I said, they don't know He's Jesus. And they're talking about, they're like, hey, you know, I don't know where you've been, man. But a lot of crazy stuff's been going on. And Jesus, this awesome guy, we thought He was the one that was going to restore Israel. They thought, they were so heartbroken, they put all their eggs in this basket. And they thought, man, well, it is what it is. That whole thing is done. He was on the cross. He's dead. You know what? It's never too late, man. We serve a God that can do all things. Luke 1:37, right? For nothing is impossible with God. Don't ever forget that, guys. Nothing's impossible for him. This situation to them, man, I mean, I can't stress it enough how heartbroken these people must have been and how fearful they must have been. You know, man, maybe somebody important, Saul, is hanging out with Jesus. We better just get out of town. And so they're so distraught. They're talking about this. And then here Jesus comes up, and Jesus is listening to them. Jesus is listening to what they're saying. And then this is what Jesus says. And he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones." That is so cool right there. "And slow of heart." And he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophecies have spoken." Jesus is like, "Hey, man, don't you guys remember anything from Saturday school? Don't you remember anything from synagogue? Don't you remember all these prophecies?" And, you know, let's be honest, man. Sometimes we kind of cherry pick in the Word of God the verses that mean something to us. And that's okay. I mean, I got an arsenal. I got a bunch of verses, man, that I'm constantly meditating on and chewing on, and they're so important to me. But we have to understand, man, that we have to take in the whole Word of God. It's all inspired. It's all important. We can learn something from every single bit of it. So when Jesus told his disciples many, many, many times, you know, "I'm going to be this Jerusalem thing. You know what? I'm going to be handed over to evil men. I'm going to be put to death, but don't worry." Man, and it was just like right over their heads. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. And so Jesus is saying, man, look back. Look at the Old Testament. Look at how Daniel, look at Moses, look at Abraham, look at all these heroes of the Old Testament, man. Didn't they go through hard times before they got to that place of glory? Didn't they have to dig in and go through some pretty tough situations before they got to that place? And look back at the Old Testament and look at all the prophecies from Genesis all the way to the end of the Old Testament, where every single book talks about the Messiah. And not everything is about how he's going to just destroy everything and set up his awesome kingdom. A lot of it's about the suffering and him paying for our sins and stuff like that. But you know what? They were missing out on all that because they had a picture of what they wanted the Messiah to do. Do we ever do that? Do we have a picture in our heads of how we think God should handle our situations? Like, "God, you know what? It would be a lot better if we can just go ahead and do it like this, you know?" and you know what? God has an awesome plan. He's got an amazing plan, and God knows what he's doing. And if we knew all the little valleys and hills we were going to have to climb up to get to that place and some of the tough times, we'd probably have trouble leaving the house sometimes. You know what I mean? So God just says, "Hey, look, man, I got an awesome plan for you. It's awesome. And you're going to go through some deep waters, but it's all right. I'm going to be with you. You're going to go through some fire, but it's not going to overwhelm you. Just trust in me." Amen? So Jesus, these guys don't even understand or realize he's Jesus yet, is encouraging these guys. And well, he's also correcting them. "Hey, foolish ones." You know what I mean? The Word of God is good for correcting us. And we got to let it correct us. We really do. That's what I was saying. We can't just pick the verses that make us feel good and funny and dance and jump around. I mean, those are good. Those are awesome. But this book is to correct us, to guide us, to lead us, to help us mature and do the right thing. You know what I mean? Okay, so anyways, the Lord Jesus is correcting these folks. And he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Well, real fast, look at Isaiah. Here's just one little tidbit right here about what the Old Testament said about our Messiah. Something that maybe went right over their heads, maybe something that they didn't even think about until after the fact. Well, wow, holy smokes, all God's people. No, don't say that. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 and 4. "He was despised and rejected." Oh, man, that doesn't sound good. Keep in mind, this was written, I think, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And this is talking about him. So imagine your heart is just crushed and broken. And here comes this awesome guy who you don't know at all, or you don't know that you know him at all. And he's like, "Hey, man, I've been listening to you guys. You guys are foolish." Like, excuse me, brother? What? No, seriously. You guys aren't getting it. What about all the Old Testament stuff that talked about the suffering that the Messiah was going to have to go through? Huh?
What?
Yeah, man. Maybe he shared this with them. He was despised and rejected by mankind. Oh, yeah, that certainly happened. A man of suffering certainly happened. And familiar with pain certainly happened. Like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Imagine being these two guys, and, you know, a few days earlier when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and everybody's like, Hosanna, Hosanna, and throwing down the palm branches, and they're like, this is it, man. Cleopas, Cleopas, whatever that guy's name. Cleopas, it's on now, brother. It's getting real, man. It's awesome. And then everything goes completely different. Completely different than what they thought was about to happen. You know what I mean? But he was despised and rejected by mankind. Oh, yeah. Jesus was definitely rejected. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Verse 4, surely he took up, well, this is a good part about that. There was a reason for all that. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. If you don't get anything else out of this today, man, think about that, man, how blessed you are. Oh, you don't understand, man, you know, my cat's running away and I can't pay my bills and blah, 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 blah. Listen, man, you're a saved person, man. You're a saved person. Jesus Christ paid for your sin debt, and if you have not accepted that, you need to do that today. Amen. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. Maybe Jesus took him back to that verse in Isaiah. Maybe he took him back to the Psalms. Verse 26, was it not necessary? Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Now think about that, man. The scriptures, the prophecies said that he was going to have to go through these things. And Jesus Christ, you know, he didn't have to go through that. If he didn't want to, he didn't have to go through that. But he wouldn't have paid for our sins. He could have called the whole thing off. And aren't you glad that he didn't call the whole thing off? Aren't you glad that he went through it and did it, seeing the, you know, despising the shame and the pain, but looking to the other side and knowing, man, that all of us would be able to be saved? What a wonderful thing, man. I'm just trying to say that we're blessed, man. And there is no hopeless situation. There is no, right? These guys are like broken down, man. They're running low on soul coal, man. They are sad. Super, super sad. You ever been like that? Like, man, I just don't know. I don't really want to hang out with no one. I don't want to see anybody. I can't really muster up a good thought right now. I'm about to go stomp on these. Never mind. Okay, verse 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Totally. He had to fulfill all these prophecies. He had to pay for our sins. If he didn't, we'd have to pay for them. So we're blessed. Amen? So one little nugget that I think that we should probably try and grab a hold of is, you know, Christians go through hard times. We really do, man. The world goes through hard times. But when we go through hard times, man, we're blessed because we have the Lord with us. And there's a reason why we're going through these hard times. You know what? Think about it like this, man. The Lord God is trying to mature his people. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, Isaiah 48 and verse 10, right there on the monitor. Isaiah 48 and verse 10. Behold, I have refined you. This is the Lord talking about his people. That doesn't really sound good, but that's what we signed up for. You know what I mean? God doesn't want a bunch of little babies, man. He wants to mature us. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Man, there we go, man. That's an awesome verse. You don't see people getting a tattoo of that one very much. I have refined you in the furnace of affliction. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's the truth, man. God is all about maturing his people. So life ain't always easy, you know what I mean? But God is with us, and he makes a way where there is no way. And we can look back. We can look back and see where God has been totally faithful. Totally faithful. Amen? Okay. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Okay, the scripture said it was going to happen. So guess what? It's going to happen. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, this is so cool, man. This guy's walking with these two disciples. We know it's Jesus. They do not know it's Jesus yet. But okay, he just called them fools. And then he says, hey, don't you remember this stuff about the Messiah? Don't you remember that he had to go through all this stuff? Or did you just get caught up in everything, man, and thought he was going to go in there and kick the Romans out when he never even promised that? You know what I mean? Takes him back all the way to Moses. I'm thinking Genesis. I'm thinking right there to the Garden of Eden. Because Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm thinking he went right back to the Garden of Eden and talks about the snake. Y'all remember the snake? All right. Was in him. Oh, look, look, look. Genesis 3, verse 15. Now, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but I'm thinking this verse came up. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman. This is God, the creator of the universe, talking to Satan, talking to that old nasty snake. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman. You use this woman to cause the fall of mankind. You know what I mean? And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Well, who would Satan's offspring be? Wouldn't that be the world? Wouldn't that be the unbeliever? And I will cause, and between your offspring and her offspring, talking about Jesus, and he will strike your head. Isn't that awesome? And he will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Okay. His heel will be struck. That ain't the death blow. That's not the death. Even though he's going to die on that cross, there ain't no grave that can hold him down. But the awesome part, I actually got super, super stoked and excited last night, or early this morning in the wee morning hours. I could hear the church chicken. You know, we got that chicken in the backyard now. And it lets you know when the sun's coming up. It's a tree chicken. It lives in the trees. It's a peculiar thing. Yeah, it's up there in the trees. And you don't see that every day. Anyways, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head. That's the death blow right there. He's going to crush. That's past tense. That's already been done, man. We got the victory. Amen. Can I get a witness? Imagine these dudes walking on the road. He's like, hey, remember when that was said back in Genesis? I believe the heel got struck, man. But I also believe the head of the snake just got struck too. Smashed. All God's people said smashed. Sega. Genesis 22 and verse 8. Abraham said, I like this one too. You remember this one? Abraham and his son. God told him to sacrifice his son. Maybe they went back that far. You know? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb. God did provide himself the lamb. You know what I mean? Remember Abraham was taking his son up to sacrifice him. God told him to do it. Taking him up there, and little Abraham's like, well, Daddy, where's the lamb? God will provide. God did provide. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you that when I don't focus on the word, when I look at the wind and the waves, I'm going to get depressed. I'm going to get in the mully grubs. I'm going to get in a bad mood. I'm going to do things I'm not proud of. I'm going to do all kinds of stupid stuff. But when I stand on the word of God, when I get into the word of God, it gives me peace, it gives me strength, and it even will give you joy. I know that sounds crazy, but the Most High God will give you joy. The Holy Spirit will give you joy and excitement and expectation of knowing, man, God's going to work this out. I don't know how. I don't know how, but God does. You know what I mean? Okay. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. wonderful. Luke 24, verse 28. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. You ever pondered that for a little bit? I definitely pondered that. You ever, let me see, how can I do this? I'm going to do this right way. Jesus is not inviting himself to go with these people. You know what I mean? They're at the end of their journey, right? They've done, did the 7 miles. Jesus has been talking to them for a long time, and Jesus is acting like he's going to go on further. You know what I mean? Jesus wants to be with his people, but Jesus is not going to push himself on his people. Does that make sense? We can be so encouraged, we can be so blessed, but you know what? We have to accept the Most High God. And I'm not saying just accept him as our Lord and Savior, but we have got to want him. He's a gentleman, is what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Okay, I had a good example, but I can't think of it right now. But that's okay. Okay, so like imagine you invite yourself to go to a movie with some other dude and his wife or something like that. You know, maybe they're like, sure, yeah, come along. yeah, come on, bro, it's all right. You know, but you're kind of feeling it like, man. Well, maybe I'll catch up with you guys a bit later or something. You know, that's what's kind of what's going on here, man. You know what I mean? God, said, I'm just going to keep on trucking. I'm just going to let them think. But if they want me, if they want my peace, I'm right here with them. You know what I mean? And these guys, man, seriously, imagine these people just devastated. Heartbroken, sadder than sad can be. Whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-dee. Just so sad. And then here comes this dude who brings correction through the Word of God, instructs them through the Word of God, explains the Word of God, and all of a sudden, they're getting hope again. They're getting excited again. They're actually getting peace. I mean, something's beginning to happen inside of them. So when Jesus, they're going to turn this way, and Jesus is like going that way, like, hey, hold on, brother. Hey. It's getting dark, man. You don't want to be on the road when it's dark. Why don't you come over here with us and hang out? They wanted more of that. They didn't want that peace to go away. You know? Anyways, are y'all with me? I hope I ain't lost nobody yet. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going, as if he were going further. Now listen, Revelation 3 and verse 20. Let's read this. It's a powerful little verse. Because sometimes, man, we don't take the Most High God up on this peace that he offers for us. That he has for us. You know what I mean? It's like Isaiah 53. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. Jesus Christ paid for us to have peace as well. You know what I mean? Okay, anyways. Revelation 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, the Lord is ready to dwell with us. The Lord is ready to do life with us. You know what I mean? To be there with us through the thick and thin. And he doesn't leave us or forsake us. But sometimes, like Sister Kiwi or Princess Portia, one of them we're talking about this morning, sometimes we're like, well, you know what? We can go two directions, man. We can get frustrated. We can get bitter. We can run away from the Lord and say, this is unfair. And he still wants to give us peace. He still wants to be there for us. But he's waiting for us to come to our senses, like that prodigal son who had to come to his senses. You can do it your way, but it ain't going to work out good. You know, but I'm right here. I want to come hang out with you. I want to be there with you through thick and thin. I want to encourage you. I want you to have that peace. I want you to have that joy. Amen. Y'all with me? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, sometimes it's hard to hear his voice through all the rubbish you're saying. You know what I mean? All the stuff we're talking about and thinking about and causing a big old scene and trying to act like we're big and smart and proud and all that stuff. And the Lord's saying, dude, just why are you being so foolish, Paul? Why don't you just stand on the word? Why don't you just trust in me? You just told all these people to trust in the word, and now you're acting like the fool throwing pebbles at your kids and stuff. I don't throw pebbles at my kids. No, I ain't saying I ain't thought about it, but I don't. Anyways, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Isn't that beautiful? Let's get back on track, beloved. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went to stay with them. Don't you think that makes the Lord feel good? Don't you think it makes him feel awesome when we're like, you know what? I really just want to hang out with Jesus right now. I know that nothing else is going to work out. I just really need to spend some time with Jesus. I really need to focus on his word. You know he gets stoked up about that. And you see like a smile in Jesus' face when he's walking with these guys. And they're going like, you know, hey, we're going, this is our exit, man. We're going to Emmaus. You're not going to Emmaus, dude, man. And he's like, and you're like, well, come on. Come on, it's getting dark. You know, you just picture Jesus kind of just smiling like, all right, my man, my boys. You know, they're going to hang out together. Okay, all right, tell the truth. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. These guys have been brokenhearted. They wanted that peace. They wanted that to continue. And I would like to encourage all of us, man, to be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage them. Go the extra mile with them when they're going through a hard time. Don't just look the other way. You know what I mean? But if we can do something, do something. Be there for our brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. That's what Jesus is doing to these guys. Like, it's going to be all right. They went from completely hopeless to thinking, you know what? I think everything might work out, man. I don't get it. I don't understand. But the Old Testament did say this stuff was going to happen. Wow. Wow. Everything's going to be all right. What a wonderful place to be in your mind. And you can only truly get that way by trusting in the Lord. You know what I mean? Because you can have that momentary peace for a second, that peace like the world gives and stuff like that, but that's not going to last. And Satan will try and steal your peace no matter what. But we can have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that no matter what's going on, we're like, man, I honestly don't know how, but I know it's going to work out. I know that God is going to perfect this. He's going to work it out. Amen. I'm just going to trust in him. So when we see somebody going down that slippery slope, shouldn't we want to encourage them? I mean, we've been called to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So Paul, who wrote that verse, the Apostle Paul, saying, you're doing a great job, but don't stop doing it. Don't get weary of doing good. Even when you see somebody not changing their behavior, you know what I mean? And you see them going down that wrong path. Well, don't give up on them. Thank the good Lord that he didn't give up on us, right? All right. Next and final slide, Clyde. Luke 24 and verse 30. When he was at the table, so let's do a little recap here. Sad people leaving Jerusalem. They thought all hope was lost. Fearful for their life, just so, so depressed. Leaving Jerusalem, going to Emmaus, just getting away from all this stuff. Jesus comes up and is walking with them and brings correction to them, because that's what the shepherd does. He will correct us and he will guide us and lead us. You know what I mean? And sometimes that correction doesn't feel good. Sometimes he might say, you know what? You're being pretty foolish right now. Yep, and he'll bring some correction to us. But he's also instructing them in the word, saying, this is what this meant when Isaiah said this, when David said this, when Moses said this. This is what this was talking about. And they're like, oh, wow, far out, man. and they're starting to get peace and joy and excitement, and they have that overwhelming feeling that, man, you know what? Before you were here, mister, we were in a bad place, really bad place. I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about in our heart and in our mind. You know what I mean? But now I know everything's going to be all right. I don't know how. So they're hanging out with the guy in the town. We know it's Jesus. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Wow. So maybe it was the way he broke the bread. Maybe it was the way he prayed. Whatever he said, maybe just jarred something. Whatever, that veil was lifted. God was like, okay, now you can see it's Jesus. And they're like, wow, man, you're not just this really cool theologian guy like Billy Graham, but you're Jesus. You're actually Jesus. No wonder you knew all that stuff. Wow, we just had a one-on-one sermon with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the universe. He's alive. You know what I mean? Just so excited. You know, and these were disciples, these were followers, so certainly they heard his messages many, many times. So something happened that triggered it, whatever the veil was lifted, either way, shape, or form. And then, Jesus being Jesus, you know, he's like, hey, Clopas, look, it's Jesus. And he's like, and he goes away, man. But you know what? He's never far away from it. He's closer than you think. You know what I mean? But even when you can't feel them, even when you don't have the goosebumps, even when you can't get the preacher on the phone because he took some medicine, he's like really sleepy. You know what I mean? No, Jesus is right there, man. Trust in him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Can I get a witness? And their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Well, sometimes we can't see him, sometimes we can't feel him, but he's there with us. Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Listen to this, guys. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Raise your hands if you love being brokenhearted. No. We don't, man. But, you know, Ecclesiastes says we're going to go through all kinds of stuff. We're going to go through all kinds of stuff, and the Most High God doesn't spare us from all that stuff. There's a reason for all that stuff. But guess what? God is right there with us. Don't run the other way. Don't get frustrated. Don't get bitter. Don't pour ketchup in the cat litter. Don't do none of that. It just rhymed. I don't know. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. These guys were crushed in spirit, man. They were crushed in spirit, but the Lord was right there with them, and he's right there with us. Amen? Verse 32. So Jesus is gone now. Wow, man. Wow. Jesus was here. You know what I mean? They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? Their hearts were on fire, man. Not like, you know, well, you know, not like they were sick. But, man, we shouldn't ate them dates, man. No, it wasn't like that at all. They were like, man, they didn't even know it was Jesus yet. They didn't even know it was Jesus. And he was saying all this stuff. And now they're looking back like, man, I was getting excited when he was saying that stuff. Man, guys, we got to get into the Word. We really do. If your heart don't burn when you're in the Word, that's okay. Like what Stevie was talking about, you have to push yourself at first to read the Bible. You have to set time aside to read the Bible, but eventually you'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to read the Bible. You know, and you'll want that time with the Lord. And what a wonderful one. I mean, you can be having a pretty crummy day in the natural where things all's wild and you don't know how anything's going to work out. And you can read the Word, and you close that book, and you're like, man, that was good. That was good. I know that the Lord's going to take care of us. I know that he's going to work it out. Because, man, we got to get a hold of these promises. We got to read the Word. We got to meditate on the Word, and we got to be obedient to the Word. Now, We really got to do that. All right? I'm not just saying that. You know, I say that a lot. But, dude, we need to get into that word. And let's let it do this. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? Don't we want that? Don't we want to feel that? Man, I don't know how this is going to work out, man, but I'm excited. I'm excited because my God is faithful. We can go like these two disciples that all hope was lost to where, man, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out. Amen. While he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures, did not our heart burn within us? It's going to be all right, beloved. Thank you, Lord, for blessing these folks. Thank you, Father God, that we're going to get into the scripture, that we're going to be obedient to the scripture, that we're going to be not just hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers of the word, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we will be there for our brothers and sisters. We will be there for a lost and dying world. Let us be obedient to you. Let us hunger and thirst for righteousness, because we know you're going to fill us up, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Now, looky here, beloved. Real fast, I do hope to see all you guys Wednesday. We have Bible study Wednesday. We have something for every single age group on Wednesday.